Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing pretty well, pretty much because I'm not a sad, lonely dolphin like Amber, and I've already found my mate in you.
Aw, isn't that sweet? You don't have to be beached first.
No. No. I've already been beached, and I found my mate, and I don't have to be a pathetic dolphin no more.
I still would appreciate if you dressed up as Aladdin and went in a tank with sharks for me, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's something you're interested in.
Sea critters are no fun.
Sea critters. We're back with some Boy Meets World. We're not alone here. We can't talk about Disney without a person coming on this podcast. He's already come on once to talk about a 90s show's trip to Disney. And he's back again. Felipe from the Brazilian Dragon podcast is here. Felipe, how are you?
Yes, I hopped a cargo flight, and I was like, I will chase you until you let me be on this podcast. Despite boundaries existing, I will pressure you into putting me here. But I'm doing well. It's been a long day, but I'm very excited. I had my first Boy Meets World exposure ever today, and I can't wait to dig into it all.
Yes, this is so wild to me that Felipe is of an age where he has not seen Boy Meets World. Like, he was not, you know, watching it when it was on ABC Family. Born. Yeah, it's wild to me. How was your, vaguely, because we'll get into the episode, but how was your experience watching the show? What'd you think?
It was very white. That was yes, my first it was. Take. I thought there was going to be a better theme song. Like, I was excited for a good theme song, and it was just like this groovy, like, guitar riff. It's like, oh, there's no theme song.
They have different theme songs for every season. Yeah. So you should, yeah, watch a thing. We'll have to look up a thing on YouTube for you to watch of all the different intros, because they get, I think the best one is yet to come. We have not reached the best one yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise, I was just excited to finally, like, understand the show that I've understood via pop culture and then your podcast. My biggest takeaway was I was very thrown off by the lack of parents in this episode. Like, I was like, where is Mr. Feeny? And then I had to ask you, is the guy with the mustache Mr. Feeny? Like, he's barely in this episode.
He's not a big player in this episode because they spend so much time in Disney and he's not a part of the crew that goes to Disney. Maybe that's what this episode needed, was Feeny and Disney as well. Because that could have been fun, Sarah. Like,
Feeny and Disney would have been a delight.
Yeah,
that would have been hilarious.
Eric was by far my favorite character.
Okay.
That's not like the spiciest take I've ever heard. Okay. Yeah.
No, yeah, that's not a hot take, totally.
Corey was kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that's a hot take for me.
Okay. For Sarah. What else did I think? Not enough of the parents who I was like, oh, this is actually kind of fun. Like, his interaction. That was my favorite part, is the ending, the end tag.
With Alan, like, and Amy. And
I was like, oh, they have good banter. Like, he feels, like, natural here. But he felt very stiff in this episode in his acting. I don't know.
Who specifically? Yeah. Who did you Corey. Say? Corey. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, my overall thought was, what in the caucasity is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of white people in the 90s, you know? Yeah, there's a lot of teen white people, as is the huge for the 90s.
Are there any people of color in the show?
Later on, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Well, Eli, too, but he's not in this episode.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be an Eli. I knew, I believe you talked about it in early season one, that, what's his name? Fruit Loop Dingus the Minkus. Minkus, that's how I remember his name. Minkus isn't in the later seasons, right? So he's gone.
Oh, no, he's just in season one, and so he's, like, white.
I was like, where he at? Like, it took me a second to realize, oh, wait, yeah. I thought Corey had more friends besides Sean.
He does, Topanga.
Yeah, that's it, though. It's just the three of them.
That's his only friend.
And then, yeah, like, Eli, he's a black man, and he's a teacher, but he just wasn't really featured in this episode. He comes in season two, and he has, like, a smaller part. Like, he's, like, really friendly with Mr. Turner, so he doesn't have, like, a huge... one
who lives with Mr. Turner?
He used to. Now he doesn't. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eric, I feel like he doesn't have any friends either.
No, he used to, Jason. Okay. Now he's friendless again. But yeah, like, we talked about this episode, and obviously it's kind of funny that you came on when we talked Full House. We did, like, a whole thing during Mary-Kate and Ashley March. Go listen to that podcast if you haven't. We talked all about Disneyland and all of that. And it's very funny how, like, every 90s show took a trip to Disney World at some point. So of course we had to have you back on for this episode. So season 3, episode 21, the penultimate episode of season 3 for Boy Meets World, the happiest show on earth. So let's get into it, because I can't wait to get all of Felipe's spicy takes on Boy Meets World.
Listen, I did not grow up with this show. I'm just going to preface this. I will be throwing out my opinion. I will not couch it, because I am not afraid.
Of course.
But feel free to drag me, but, like, I don't have the love for this show that you two clearly do. That
you don't have the nostalgia. Do. No.
But, and it's usually different, because, like, you would think it would be someone who saw the show or missed the show because they were too old, but I just, like, didn't have any connections to the show. So I will be authentic and truthful, but I also say it because if someone came for Sweet Life or Hannah Montana, I would drag them back. So feel free to drag me. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to say what I witnessed and keep it at that.
All right.
Go for it.
So we start off the episode of Chubbies, and we see Corey dancing with Kristen. Sarah, have we seen Kristen before? Is she brand new? I don't think we've seen her.
I think she is brand new, but her face is very familiar.
I feel the same way,
whatever reason. Like, I don't know why, but we have not. And, but they are, like, moving and grooving. And for whatever reason, Chubbies is now, you know, charging a cover charge.
That was my question. I was like, what is this middle school, high school?
Okay, so Chubbies is, like, the place where they all hang out. It's started off as, like, pub food, but really, like, it's kind of like, I don't know, a Shake Shack.
It's like a diner.
That is now like, turned into, like, a teen hangout with, like, a pool table in the back.
Right.
And now, apparently, they throw, like, dances and teen ragers with a $3 cover charge.
The disrespect to have a cover charge in high school, like, that should be illegal.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous, but he's willing to pay it because he wants to, like, get groovy. I don't know. He's doing some, like, old dances
here.
He
was throwing the white moves all around, like, Carlton
twist
was
or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
this is, it looks like he took back some of his dance moves that he learned in his 50s dream.
50s episode, yeah. So apparently now he has a reputation. He apparently is going out with a different girl every night. And
Chris Himbo energy.
Yeah, and Kristen's like knows this, and apparently it's his calling card that he will pass a fry from knuckle to knuckle before he kisses the girl.
Wow,
that was your interpretation. See, I don't know the show, so my interpretation was that she was flirting with him, being like trying to get him to kiss her by being like, oh, and then right before you kiss a girl, you or does he actually do that?
Oh, I mean, we haven't seen it, but I fully believe that that is, like, a thing he does. Yeah.
Okay.
We get the impression that, like, since he's broken up with Topanga, he's been out with a lot of girls in school. And he originally, like, had that reputation of, like, oh, he's good guy Corey, like, boyfriend material Corey. And now it seems like he's getting a little bit of that Sean reputation. Like, mm-hmm. Sarah, this is a big change for Corey.
It is a big change for Corey. You know, Taylor Swift has nothing on him. I just have, like, the big reputation. Big reputation. Yeah, like, it's kind of like grody seeing Corey, like, you know, being a, like, a habitual dater. But, mm-hmm. You know what they always say? Like, I guess it makes sense since he's such, like, a monogamous person. Like, you got to get it out at some time, and it might as well be when you're 15 years old and just, like,
yeah,
waste away all the whole years.
Yeah, so he kisses Kristen, but he accidentally, he pulls a Ross and he calls her Topanga after they kiss, and she's just like, oh, she is very upset by this, as anybody would be, you know.
So when did they said 3 months, right? They were broken up for a few months, mm-hmm. in the show. Okay. So yeah. He still has Topanga on the mind despite him making out with a different girl every night of the week?
Right. Corey is a relationship guy. He is not. Sean is the guy who bounces from girl to girl and kind of, like, dates around. Corey has never been that way. Corey is a one-woman kind of man from what we understand.
Yeah. And I will say Felipe, because you probably didn't watch the episode where they did break up. He didn't really break up with her.
It was very mutual.
It was very mutual, but the show has changed the narrative that Corey broke up with Topanga, right. But that's, like, totally not it. In, like, our opinion, Topanga was really, like, the driver for, like, the breakup, mm-hmm. because Corey was just like, I don't know, like, I don't really think we should do it. And Topanga was like, we're going to hate each other if we don't break up. So
what you're saying is that Corey doesn't get it when people tell him no? He's persistent.
I mean, yeah.
Only with Topanga.
Yeah, okay. It's really only with Topanga that he's that way.
His he can love be much of a very strong.
He could be a real big pushover in other, like, areas of his life, I would say.
Yeah, but the only thing in the entire series is that, like, if there's one thing that Corey believes is that he and Topanga are meant to be together.
Right. He, like, has a Scorpio Venus. Anybody who knows astrology, this bitch has a Scorpio Venus 100%. He is committed. When he is with somebody that is his person, he is with mm-hmm. them, he is loyal.
And it's kind of like he just doesn't understand why, like, other people at times don't understand how, like positively sure he is,
yeah.
that they're going to be together forever. Like, it's like if they're like, oh, you're only, like, 15 years old, like, how can you know love? Corey's like, no, I'm 15 years old because I like. And I know for sure because I mm-hmm. love her so much. And there's, like, no doubt in my mind that we're going to be together forever. Jump 30 years into the future, they're still together. He was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It's one of those, like, ridiculous things that doesn't happen in real life for the most part. We're in school now, and Sean is telling Corey to write the names on the palm of his hands because he's forgetful, too. And he, like, looks and he goes, Corey. And Corey says he's still thinking about Topanga. He made a mistake thinking they could just be friends. When he sees Topanga, like, he can't get over those feelings he has for her. He wants to hug her and kiss her. And
Topanga, but he doesn't want to kiss Sean. He doesn't want to hug and kiss Sean.
He does not want to hug and kiss Sean. And Topanga walks in and says hi to Corey. And this is when we find out they had to write these environmental essays.
Okay, we knew it was environmental because when they showed up with the dolphins, like, what kind of essays did they write?
Yeah, they said in the class that it was some type of environmental essay.
They did, but they said it very quickly. So if you're not, like, paying close attention, yeah. then yeah, I could totally see how you would miss that. And like, then it's like, yeah, why are they hanging out with dolphins?
Yeah, but, I mean, because it's like, what is it, SeaWorld? No, SeaWorld isn't in Disney. There's just a bunch right of there, no, though. It's the living like, seas.
Sorry. No, but SeaWorld is right there too. They could.
Yeah, that's why there. I got confused because I thought they were at SeaWorld for a hot second.
Not.
At
they SeaWorld. Needed a better excuse to go to Disney. I'm sorry, this was a bad like. I
yeah,
like,
dolphins concept. Is not what screams Disney to me.
I don't even know they like. And, okay, we'll get there when we get there. But I have thoughts.
So they had to write these essays. So we find out Kristen won a trip and Corey's like, good, send her off. She'll get over me. No big deal. We find out Ronnie Waterman, who is Lips Waterman, as he's known.
Is he a regular character?
No. But okay. Sarah and I recognized him because we just watched 10 Things I Hate About You. And he plays Joey in that movie. Funny to see him like slightly younger. Seemingly the same kind of douchey, narcissistic character that he played in 10 Things I Hate About You.
He looked a little like the Breakfast Club guy with the leather jacket. John, I don't know who he
is. Oh, Bender?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. But yeah, he's much less it might badass, be I would say. Yeah. And then apparently Topanga won too. And Corey is very upset she's going to be spending time with Lips Waterman. Sarah, like, to me, he should know Topanga better by now. Than to think like she's gonna fall for Ronnie's nonsense.
Yeah, she might go on a date with him, and she has every right to because mm-hmm. he's been on a date with a bunch of girls. So even if they share a Dumbo ride, it should be no sweat off his back.
Exactly. It shouldn't be as a big deal, but of course we see this dream sequence. Where Topanga and Joey are like on the Dumbo ride and they're about to kiss and we get Joey because that's what his name is in 10 Things I Hate About You, Ronnie, and we get like the really slow pan of like his lips to the camera. I felt like this was particularly 90s. I don't know, this reminded me of like what they used to do in shows, you know what I mean, with these weird camera angles.
Yeah, I like how Topanga is just very concerned about her hair. Getting stuck and she's in the ride? Yeah, is it going to get stuck in the ride? Like, is it going to be, like, remember?
Were you going to say the Friends episode?
What was the Friends episode?
There was a Friends episode where Rachel is terrified to go on the swings because she's afraid her hair is going to get caught in them. And so, like, there's an episode where Ross is, like, trying to get her over this fear because at that point they have Emma and whatever. And so we see her, like, it's the funniest, like, physical gag because she's, like, just, like, on the swings in the weirdest possible way as a grown adult. It's very funny. You should watch that episode.
I kind of want to go on a swing.
watch out for your hair.
Watch out. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
But Corey's dreaming. He wakes up, he's like, no lips. And Eric's asks if he's having his normal figure skating dream, and he's like, no, I only had that dream every four years, obviously, because of the Olympics. So he's like, Eric, I need your advice. And Eric's like, you love Topanga and you want her back, and he knows because there's a giant picture above the bed.
Possessive much? Sorry.
It's very creepy.
Very creepy. Like, and also, Jessica and I realized that they switched beds.
Yes, Eric used to sleep on the other bed. Like, this is so strange to me that you would switch places. I found
a theory.
Okay. You found a theory or you came up with a theory?
I found a theory.
Okay, what is the theory?
So, as you know, there's a lot of discrepancies with the timeline of Boy Meets World. Mm-hmm. So season one is sixth grade. We know that for sure. Season two, we thought was seventh grade. And season three, at first, we thought it was eighth grade. Now, what we think is happening, the universe, what I've done my research, season one, definitely sixth grade.
Yeah.
Season two, seventh/eighth. Eighth grade.
Okay.
Season three, ninth grade /10th grade, with this episode 100% with them being in 10th grade as 15-year-olds. And the theory is that the show jumps forward 2 years within the season. And because of that, the bed switches. And that's like a proof of a time jump.
What would the bed switching have anything to do with the time jump? You can move your beds around overnight.
As part of the time jump, Corey and Eric have swapped bed sides of the room with their beds in opposite places. Maybe Eric was supposed to go off to college, so Corey wanted the good side.
So
good side against a wall.
This was my first episode of Boy Meets World, so I consider myself a scholar. I call bullshit.
Yeah.
I think this theory is stupid. I think they're in eighth grade because I don't know.
No, is
this
your theory? They're definitely not in eighth grade. But the thing that doesn't make sense is, so you're saying that Corey, Sean, and Topanga have jumped grades, but Eric obviously hasn't. He's still in school.
I know. He that's the plot.
Okay. Maybe he's
that's
in what ninth, I mean, he's staying behind. Maybe they're
because the whole plot of this season for Eric, like the running arc, is that he's not going to graduate and he has to like work harder to graduate.
I can't speak for Eric, but I'm saying because next season, season four, they're in 11th grade.
But don't they end the school with him going to college or does he? Oh, no, there's the college years. Okay.
There are the college years. Yeah. So season four is 11th grade. Season five is 12th grade. Season six is freshman year of college. And season seven is sophomore year of college.
Ridiculous.
So full transparency, I did at the end go to the last episode just to scroll through on Disney Plus.
The last episode of the entire series.
Yeah, just to like scroll through to the end so it erases it from like what you need to watch next because that would bother me if I never watched it and it was like stuck on season 3, episode 22 or whatever. So I did see him and I was like, oh, this man looks old. He grew up on the show, but he sounded the same at the same time.
Eric?
No, it was Corey? When he was saying goodbye to Feeny.
Oh, yeah, Corey. Yeah, Are you saying that Feeny looks old? The disrespect.
Please, I had something to say, but I forgot. So, it was something about Malcolm in the Middle and how they, like, the three children shared a bed. I was like, that room looked tiny. Do they share a bed or are they two different beds?
It's two twin beds.
Twin beds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it doesn't really make sense why they switched beds, but, like, okay, whatever. They did.
That's the theory.
Amy got bored and rearranged their room. That's fine.
Maybe. I don't know what to say.
So, yeah, so he has this creepy poster above his bed, and Eric basically says, you know, tell Topanga how you feel. You need to go to Florida. I have spoken. I'm going back to bed.
Okay, Jeff Probst.
And what?
Okay, Jeff Probst.
Yeah.
I have spoken.
That's it. I've spoken. It's done. So the next day at school, Corey's like, you know what? Thanks for your advice, Eric. I am going to go to Florida, but I need you to help cover for me. Because, like, yeah, how are you going to get away from your house for an entire weekend and go to Florida without your parents knowing? Eric has a solution.
The adults in the show are mad dumb. They don't realize that. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
No, it's ridiculous to think that your parents wouldn't notice you went to a completely different state for an entire weekend. Like, you could pull the whole, I'm going to Sean's, and Sean says, I'm going to Corey's, I guess. But Eric's solution is much more complex and stupid, and it is that he has a Corey doll that apparently is going to replace Corey in all of his classes. So Sean is fooled by this. Doesn't really speak well to the make of the doll that Sean is the one fooled by it. But it is a funny little gag there.
It's hilarious, especially because it has the blue mittens that Corey is always losing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somehow they found the second mitten. How is that possible? Where did it come from?
Yeah, he keeps losing those mittens, but apparently maybe Eric had them the whole time.
Wow. I thought it was a funny gag.
It was good. It was definitely good because then we have like Sean got tickets from his uncle Nicky. And we all know like from the show, basically, Sean has like all these sketchy, you know, family members, extended family. And he says, there's a slight chance we're going to have to break somebody's knees, but I'm going with you. He's like, you've done, and I like this callback. He's like, you've done a ton for me. I need to be there for you. And I liked this because usually it is the other way around. So this was cute. Does he
also have an Uncle Alex?
No.
The Uncle House joke, okay.
Yeah, no, we know Uncle Mike, though.
Trying to connect the two universes. Maybe Uncle Nicky and Uncle Alex are...
It also could have been Uncle Mickey, because I couldn't tell, and I didn't feel like putting closed captioning on.
No, it was Nikki.
Was it?
Okay, I did have the captions on.
So, Corey
Is Sean one of the Pearson, one of the big three? Is Us? Sorry. Stupid joke.
Oh, I mean, it kind of does look like him. So, Corey says, you know what? I should just tell Topanga how I feel before she leaves. It'll be so much easier. And she's, like, all jazzed about Florida. She has her, like, turquoise outfit on. She's ready to go.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
I just wanted to note the outfit.
Yeah,
it was a good Remember outfit. Remember it. It's just so good.
Wink, wink. Corey admits he still has feelings for Topanga. And Topanga, read the room, girl. She's like, yeah, we're always going to be friends, right? Like, no, he's trying to say something else.
Oh, no, no, no.
Read the room. And Topanga says, and this, I don't know about this. Topanga says she doesn't trust him because he's dating all these other girls. I don't think that that's like a reason not to trust somebody.
Well, I think it's the reputation. I don't even know if it's like the fact that he's dating all these girls, but the fact that it's a different girl every night and he's starting to get like a reputation. Like, I think that is a little telling.
How big what is the school?
How big?
Like,
it's one hallway.
It's big. One hallway, yeah.
Okay, because, like, theoretically, could he date, like, 90 different girls?
Yeah, I mean, I assume up? So they live in Philadelphia, in, like, a suburb of Philly. I assume it's a decent-sized school.
Do you think he lives close to Dr. Amanda? Sorry, I'm asking stupid questions.
Sure, he does.
Sure.
We know for sure.
Yeah, No, I think it's a weird thing that, like, that's why you don't trust him, because, like, he has this reputation. But maybe be like, you've definitely changed. Like, it's not a trust thing for me, I don't think. But, like, maybe, like, she doesn't know who he is anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think instead of saying she doesn't trust him, it's more like she doesn't believe that his feelings for her are still there based on his actions, I think is maybe more of what she's trying to say.
Well, yeah, then I don't trust what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not I don't trust you as a person. I just don't trust the words coming out of your mouth at this moment. But he says, oh, I felt so alone because I wasn't with you. And she's like, oh, that's so sweet. I mean, but then
how is he alone when she's literally above his bed?
Ugh, that's so creepy to think about.
We've never seen that poster before.
No,
by
it's
the way.
First time we've seen it.
I don't even want to think about why he has that poster. No. Walking the dog.
Oh no. So then she has to go deal with her hair care products because her carry-on is very large.
A trunk.
It's a full trunk.
Mr. Turner was like, ma'am, please control yourself.
Yeah, he's like, I know all about hair products, but this is too much.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. What is the thing that you would overpack and have to, like, throw out at TSA, like, for Topanga's hair products? Like, is there anything that you, like, overpack and, like, I need as much of this as possible? Mr. Turner would come and be like, children, control yourselves.
I always pack, like, an abundance of Q-tips. Like, why do I need so many Q-tips? I don't know. Is it to illegally clean my ears? Maybe. Oh, my God.
I mean, probably for me, it would be, like, socks and underwear. Because I always pack, like, 5 extra pairs more than I would need. Because, like, I feel like those are the things that, like, what if? What if I need more?
What if Jessica ran out of clothes? That's the next episode of Marvel's What If.
It'd be the most boring
episode ever. I mean, honestly, it would be probably the most interesting of all of them.
Don't disrespect episode 2 like that, Sarah.
So boring.
So while Topanga is dealing with her hair care situation, Kristen comes up and she's like, Corey, I shouldn't have run away. It wasn't a big deal. And she kisses Corey. And of course, Topanga is there to witness the whole thing, because in shows like these, everyone has terrible timing.
Kristen has
everyone
no chill.
She is hovers. Always behind somebody else.
Kristen is borderline a stalker, I think.
I mean, granted, so is Corey. Thank you.
Yeah, but still, Kristen is like always there. Like, she reminds me of that gif from The Office where Dwight is talking and he turns and he sees Angela and he's like, what the fuck? Like, that is what Kristen reminds me of. She's just like always lingering. What are you doing?
When they're in the aquarium scene and, like, I literally could see her shadow, like, they're like waiting to call her in, or like I could see her shadow hovering behind Corey. I was like, oh my god, this lady is on top of him. She doesn't know personal boundaries. No, and neither does Corey.
And of course, Topanga is very upset. And she says, I could see you in a robe and slippers smoking a pipe. You're a playboy.
Yeah. I was like, is she going to say you're Hugh Hefner? I was like, this is a little scandalous for the Disney Channel. Or is it ABC Family at the time? Or
It was ABC.
Yeah, it was ABC. And then the reruns were on ABC Family.
Okay.
Yeah. Corey Matthews, you're a playboy.
Corey Matthews, you're a playboy.
Yeah, fair enough for her, right? She sees Corey kissing Chris. Well, here's the thing. Like, he accepted the kiss. Did he kiss back? No, but he also wasn't, like, shoving her off of himself.
I still don't know what the best solution for that is.
I think you have to say very loudly, no, ma'am, I don't want to kiss you.
Okay, so Felipe, if you're in this situation, how do you make it not sketch? Because we've seen this so much in our 90s movies and shows where somebody kisses somebody with a significant other and then they have to go to their significant other and be like, oh, so-and-so kissed me or I kissed so-and-so. What are you supposed to do in this situation to not get in trouble?
I mean, one, he could have like been like, Kristen, I am busy. Please go back. Like, I'll talk to you in like 2 minutes. Let me go finish my conversation with Topanga. He kind of did get unlucky that Topanga was right there, but like classic sitcom 90s trope or but I don't know what the move is, because like,
if there wasn't like communication issues, these shows wouldn't exist. Like, if it could be cleared up, the show would be done in like 2 minutes. Like, the episode wouldn't be 23 minutes.
Should Corey have slapped Kristen?
No. I was gonna ask, should Topanga have slapped Corey though?
No, I don't think anybody needs to slap anybody. I think
it's Sarah and I are like violence.
I think what you say is like, listen, there was a misunderstanding. Kristen thinks I'm interested in her, but I'm not. I thought things were over between us, like blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't really say anything. He kind of just lets her walk away with Ronnie, and that's it.
Could he do the thing and be like, Sean, you date Kristen while you distract her while I focus on Topanga?
I think it's better off for him to just tell Kristen he's not interested, because he doesn't do that.
But Corey doesn't know how to communicate with people. So at this point, it's probably better to give Sean the task of, like, distracting her.
Yeah, but Sean is going, oh, you're saying, like, even in Florida.
Yeah. Be like, Sean, just talk about churros with her.
Is there any way that Sean's still with Dana?
Who's Dana?
Exactly.
Besides my boss.
No, there's a girl named Dana that he was like dating on the show, and like, yeah, we haven't seen her in the last couple episodes, so no, there's no chance.
Sean was such an enigma to me, because everything I've heard from the podcast did not line up with what I got from the episode, but I kind of like the Sean. Like,
he's not dating anybody in this episode. He's like friendly with Corey, so there's two sides of the Sean
and
coin.
He's not a sad sack because he's with his dad.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So there's friends with Corey, like chaos, fun.
He gave
Sean.
Me like very like Joey Gladstone, Joey Tribbiani, like all the sitcom Joey's, like just lovable goofball, like kind of not 100% there, but like.
But that's not Sean at all.
Yeah, that's why I was Sean. Confused. I was like, who is this man? Is this a new character?
This is the fun-loving Sean that we don't get to see all the time.
Okay.
He's angsty. He has very problems.
Yeah. So we're at the Living Seas. And the students are learning all about the dolphins. It's all very exciting. And then we see Epcot, and Corey and Sean were apparently flying on a cargo plane, because that's what his Uncle Nicky booked. And they're like, how the hell are we going to find Topanga? There's like a million people here. And of course, they turn their backs, and off goes Topanga on a golf cart.
Mm-hmm. Which, we'll get to it later, but the fact that they even found her is so unlikely, especially because that was probably a reserved area that they could not just wander into. Like, the logistics. Why didn't they ask me? Actually, no, I wasn't even conceived yet, but they should have asked me in the future to come help them write this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Felipe, were you, like, watching along throughout this episode to be, like, seeing them jump between Epcot and Magic Kingdom?
My
like,
mind
constantly?
Was, yeah, because they did that in the Full House one, too, but it wasn't as jarring because there were, like, a lot of cuts that they would just, like, switch off. And even, they spent a lot more time in Epcot, but, like, they didn't do anything fun, at least in the, they had Dumbo, which was in the dream, and then I don't think they went to the restaurant that Uncle Joey and Uncle Jesse did their...
Yeah, the Living Seas.
The Living
yeah.
Seas. And then they went to the aquarium and they saw Aladdin. I think that's like about it that they did. And they got the churro line. They didn't go on any rides. Like, this was not a good advertisement for Disney.
No, it really was just like dolphins
and the Epcot ball.
And the log flume? I don't know what it's called.
Oh, yeah. Thing. They slept in Splash Mountain, which I had a lot of notes on.
That was a fun segment, but we'll get there. So we're at the school... yes, Eric is shoving, the Corey Matthews doll into his locker. And of course, Feeny sees him. And he's like, what are you doing? I just saw you stuff your brother into a locker. And I love this moment because Feeny gets all distracted and we see Eric yank out the doll and just like throw it away. And yeah. Feeny's like, I could have swore I saw him there. You were going in detention.
Yeah. I saw you put a curly haired boy into your locker.
So
I'm no dummy. And he's like, certainly not you.
My brother and I never crossed paths in school. But I feel like Feeny should not interfere with, like, sibling dynamics at school. Like, if there's something happening, like, unless it's, like, violent.
Shoving him in a locker.
Okay, but that's something that brothers can solve by themselves.
Feeny is all up in the Matthews boys' business. Because like, he has shrines. Feeny
is a creep. Doesn't he, like, always barge into the house at the end? Like, this man has no boundaries either.
He Maybe does that's in where this Corey episode, but he's not always barging into their house specifically, but he's always, like, reminds me of, like, Home Improvement. Like, they have that fence, and he's always just, like, poking his head into people's business.
Do we like Feeny?
Yes.
Okay, because I was about to drag him, and I'm like, maybe not.
But, no, you can make.
I was going to be Feeny. Like, he was like so inconsequential in this episode. What's? I was like, what's the Feeny like, hype?
You have to like the thing is like to love Feeny, you have to watch the episodes where like he explains the moral of the story because what he has to say is very important, and he's a really great teacher and he's a really great mentor to like all the kids on the show.
And is he the principal or is he just?
He's the principal and a teacher.
Okay. Because all I could think was, like, this is why Corey doesn't understand boundaries, because Feeny just barges into his home half the time.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, 100%.
It's true.
And then we
I
see...
I also like...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Is Feeny still with us?
The
actor? What? Sorry. Is Feeny still with us? The actor?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Actually, he's 94 years old. Mm-hmm. He just had a birthday a couple months ago, and he had... He had Alfredo Fettuccine. Yeah. Fettuccine Alfredo.
Come through Greatest Generation. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. And his granddaughter's on TikTok.
Oh, a queen. Is she cheating? Yeah.
Great. No, she's like Gen Z.
Okay.
So I was going to say, I just want to know the logistics of Eric giving Corey's like oral report in school with the dummy. The doll, I don't know.
I feel like it's very ventriloquist dummy. Like, also, if Corey is in the 10th grade and Eric is supposed to be a senior...
It doesn't make sense.
Okay, thank you.
We can't do the math because
why
it's a track.
Are they not in the same class? Why are they like?
They're supposed to be like a significant amount of years apart, and then apparently there was a time jump, but just for Corey, Sean, and Topanga. So we see Sean and Corey like waiting in line. Turns out they're just getting a churro.
Waste of time. Come on, Sean.
We're back at the Living Seas, and this is when we see them learning about Amber. She was found beached, and she was separated from her mate. She spends all her time alone. She's lost her appetite. Poor girl's going through it.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. What's going to happen? I don't know. I'm hoping she's reunited with her mate real soon. Bitch, how?
She's in captivity.
Release her, bitch. Release her. Set her free.
So it's like, what, you're going to, like, just snatch up all the dolphins and hope one of them is her mate?
It's going to be like speed dating with dolphins. Like, okay, match up with this one. Nope, not a match. Next one. Nope, not a match.
This is the origin story for Finding Dory.
It's ridiculous.
But Amber was the star of the episode. Give her all the flowers because that dolphin did not deserve to be there for however many long days that they filmed. Like, give her all the flowers. Like, this is an Amber stan account. Actually... I should not have named myself Prayer to the Platypus. I should have named myself Amber's Biggest Stan.
Amber's Biggest Stan.
And of course, Corey and Sean just happen upon Topanga and the group.
Like, there's no restrictions.
No, they just walk right in.
Yeah.
It's not a guided tour. It's not private. You don't have to pay for it. You just walk on in.
Because they're white.
Yeah, I think that the suspicious thing, like, definitely somebody would stop them and be like, hey, you, what are you doing back here?
Yeah, think about someone could fall in and drown. Like, there's certainly restrictions. Yeah.
The white privilege, I tell you, the caucasity.
So Kristen is like, yeah, so Corey is talking to Sean about his love for Topanga and how he needs to talk to her and blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, we have Kristen. Corey, I love you too. Bitch, like, you are, like, how would you ever think he's talking about you? You went on, like, a single date. I can't.
Listen, love moves fast for those teenagers, those preteens, teenagers. Yeah.
Just for Kristen.
Just for Kristen. Bad.
So, you said we've never seen Kristen before. do we ever see her again, or is she just this one episode character, this helicopter girl?
I think she's just, I don't know why she looks so familiar though. Like, is she in other shows, or like, what's the deal with her? Like, why do I?
Here, I'll
Pull up that IMDb.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Sarah, while you're doing that, so you know, of course, Corey's like, oh, you don't understand, and of course, Topanga. Oh, but I do. Like, she is not pleased. She's very upset that she's like, oh, Corey, you, like, say that you love me, and now you flew all the way here for Kristen. Not great. Not great. Sarah, also, what did you find?
Oh, go ahead.
So this actress is Hillary Tuck. She was mainly in the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV show.
Okay.
That's kind of like the main thing that she was in. In regards, she was also in a show called Hang Time. We have seen her before on Boy Meets World.
That must be why we recognized her. What episode was she in?
But she's played three different characters.
The continuity on the show gives me anxiety.
Samantha in Pairing Off, which is season 2, episode 2.
Okay.
She played Sarah on the Air, which is season 2, episode 17.
That is the one I remember her from. Yes.
Who's Sarah? I don't even remember.
You're Sarah.
She was in class with them. That's the one. She's the one who Sean and Corey have a radio show, and she's a guest. Right. That's the whole thing.
Oh.
That's why we recognize her.
Oh, she's the one that has the bake sale.
Yes.
She had the bake sale, so she had a bake sale, Felipe.
It's a whole thing.
And they were interviewing them on their radio show about the bake sale. So this is the third time that we've seen this girl.
That's why she looks so familiar, but she's been a different person every time.
Yeah, different person every time.
Does she return after this episode as another character? As
No, this is her last appearance.
They didn't like her very much. They were done with her.
Then she went on to the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV show.
Okay.
Maybe y'all could book her for the podcast. Like, if she's... Like, pull in Akiva and start sending the DMs.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely the one person I would really want on.
Mm-hmm.
Not your crush, Ben Savage. You want Kristen.
Definitely no, Kristen.
I would be too shy to talk to Ben Savage.
So yeah, so after Topanga's all mad, we get Corey and Sean apparently slept in a log flume overnight.
Which I have things to say. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
There's no possible way this could happen.
There is, unless they were in the Kingdom Keepers, which I don't know if we talked about this last time.
What's a Kingdom Keeper?
It's this young adult novel about these five Florida teens who find open casting call for like them to be like digital tour guides. So they put them as holograms like Disney, and then they're like digitally tour guides at the parks, and they're like holograms. And then at night they go to bed and they wake up and they're in Disney World, and they have to save the universe from like Maleficent and all the Disney baddies, and like go in the haunted rides at night, and like the Small World dolls attack them in one of the books. And it's a good, fun YA book series. I think there's like rumors that it's being adapted in TV show. So if anyone out there is on that team, hire me. You cannot sleep in Disney World. They have like security guards. You can't sleep in a log flume, especially one that is at the front thing. Like when they start it up in the morning, you're going to like wake up. Also, that seems very uncomfortable to sleep in.
Yeah. I mean, Sean was comfortable.
I mean,
I was watching this YouTube video about this this girl that watched the episode, and she used to be a cast member at Disney, and she kind of like went through every single part of this episode, which was like impossible from like a Disney cast member perspective, and she got really like uptight about it all and had like a lot of dislikes. But her main complaint was this scene, because apparently at the end of the shift, they have like somebody, like they have like security go through the entire ride. They have like a cast member ride the ride. And then the next morning, like apparently, like they ride each log flume until
make sure like, it's safe or something?
To make sure it's safe and it's working for the day. So it's apparently physically impossible for this to work.
Yeah, I think there's just like a part of us that has to suspend our disbelief when it comes to these specialty episodes in these parks.
But like, given the opportunity, of course I would sleep in a log flume. Like that, mm-hmm. like that sounds so cool to be in the dark.
Bring your sleeping bag and you get a nice shower in the morning.
Also, one more thing. I saw a like, I don't know, like a panel with the cast, and somebody asked them about, you know, this episode, about the Disney episode, and Ryder Strong said that his favorite scene to shoot was this one because they had to be on call at Disney at 5 a.m. before everybody else got there, and he said that they rode the log flume like 17 times.
That seems like so much fun.
Yeah. They had a blast. They said that they had a blast. And then,
oh, go ahead.
And then, Will Friedle was like really sour.
Yeah, because he didn't get to go.
He didn't get to go.
Yeah. Is that the third kid that usually is in the episode? But
he it's Eric.
Eric, okay. Mm-hmm. What did I think his name was? Eli. Anyways, again, as I believe I said it this last time, I am very upset with my parents for not making me a child star. Like, imagine getting to ride Disney World and Disney World rides in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
seem to enjoy it. Corey's like, all right, you know, I'm fooling myself. Let's go home. And Sean uses like reverse psychology unintentionally.
Yeah, okay. I was going to be like, Corey thinks it's reverse psychology because.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Topanga's obviously more interested in Ronnie Waterman.
Is Corey a fire sign? And any, like, does he have any fire? Because I feel like he's an overthinker.
We have discussed it and we think he's a Leo, is what we have decided. There, more episodes point to it than not. Okay. Trust me.
I feel
me,
like he was too subdued to be a Leo.
No, he's very in the spotlight, take charge kind of guy in a lot of episodes.
Is he a July Leo or an August Leo? What do you think?
Tough to say. July.
Yeah, okay, because Sarah, according to Sarah, the nice Leos are in July.
So Corey says he's gonna woo her and they need to find showers, and of course that is when the ride turns on. They get soaked. They're gonna smell like chlorine, really.
No, but they probably, well, that I don't think that's chlorinated water. If it is, but
oh, you mean from being in Disney all day and not showering?
And also, I don't know what kind of cargo they flew with. Like, did he get attacked by a chicken?
Yeah. Corey got picked by a chicken. Yeah, they probably definitely did smell. But we see this montage of Corey and Sean looking for Topanga. They speak with Beast, Goofy, and then we, of course, see Corey as Aladdin and as a sketch artist pretending
those
to
poor children who wanted to meet Aladdin. It was this random white man. I'd be so disappointed, too.
Yeah. And we're now at the aquarium. We see Ronnie, like, continuously hitting on Topanga, and she's just, like, very annoyed by it. She's like, ever since we've been here, you keep hitting on me. I hate being chased. And, of course, we have Corey with the I will chase you forever sign. I don't know how he kept that. How is that even a sign? Like, wouldn't it? It's in water.
Disintegrate or, like, not melt.
Maybe, like, poster board would last?
Yeah. Yeah, like foam core.
Something like that. Yeah.
Also, how do people, like, at least Joey and Jesse had a reason why they were there. How did Corey and Kristen, who was also in her wetsuit, like, they're just allowed to jump in this water? Like,
you have to pay or something, right? You can't just sneak in there. You have to pay.
Yeah.
And you have to be, like, certified or something, right? Like, a training? Yeah.
Corey only has $75. How is he doing this?
Fair enough, yeah.
How did they get in the first place?
Mystery. We'll never know. Mystery.
Sean comes up to Topanga, and Topanga's like, what is with your friend? And he's like, he just wants to show how much he loves you. This one was my idea. And then Topanga throws a glass of water in Sean's face.
Poor Sean. He is just trying to help out his buddy. And he gets harassed by the water, whereas Corey's the one being a freak.
Yeah.
Like, poor Sean.
Topanga just always assumed that Sean is involved in any hijinks that Corey's ever doing. Like, she just assumes he's involved at this point. And we get Topanga leaving and Corey kind of, like, stopping her in her tracks. And she's like, you know what? You need to stop chasing me. Topanga calls them meaningless gestures. But he says they come from his heart. He probably could have talked her off the ledge. Until Kristen was right behind him in a wetsuit.
In defense of Topanga, this man has been going after, flew to Florida on some bootleg tickets because he wants to profess his love for her. Could not wait for her to come back, and then goes around park to park attraction to attraction, just trying to get her attention. Like, let the girl have her vacation, then come back mm-hmm. when you're clear-headed.
So, okay, so I guess this question is this creepy or is this romantic? And you're saying it's, not even a percentage towards romantic.
If it was dialed back, like, if he went to Disney World and then it didn't work out and be like, okay, I'll try. Like, maybe one attempt, like, with the if he only went in the living seas and did that thing, that would be romantic. But the fact that he's so persistent makes it super creepy to me and be like, Corey, you need to chill out. And since this was my first exposure with the Corey and Topanga of it all, I'm like, no wonder they were so rocky for so many years. Like, Topanga deserved better. And I said that on period.
So, Jessica, let's put some percentages on this. What percent romantic, what percent creepy?
20% romantic, 80% creepy.
That's what I was leaning.
Maybe like 30-70 if I'm being generous.
No, you're being too generous.
I think if you consider their history, it's like 30-70 because they've dated before and it didn't end with like her dumping him. It ended mutually. They're still friends. It's a little bit different than if she had broken up with him and he couldn't let it go and he chased her. I think that giving that context, I would put it at like a 30-70.
But the way you described it was like, not what the show wants us to remember, but like you said, it was more Topanga breaking up with him, or was it more mutual?
No, it was very mutual. Okay. It was like they both agreed, and Topanga basically, I mean, I feel like Topanga kind of even started it, if we're being fair, because she was the one who said, I don't want to hate each other. And that kind of got him to the point of like, you know what, you're right, let's break up, in my opinion. So I think that's why I would say it's 30-70. But Sarah, what do you think? What are your numbers there?
80% romantic, 20% creepy.
Wait, pause. Because you're the same one who went on a rant about Fred and Daphne, and I think Fred and Daphne are a much less toxic couple than these two.
You guys you just don't understand. They're meant to be together. He knows. I think it's like, I don't know. Like, don't you want somebody to fight for you and be like, you're the
yes,
one?
Yes, but
like,
I also want
you in my life.
I would want, like, so if I was Corey, I would also want her to, like, I would also want to trust her and know what she wants and be able to trust that. Like, I want to fight for her, but to an extent where I'm not, like, suffocating her.
I think it's more romantic, honestly, and this is going to sound so lame, but like to pull her aside and have a one-on-one conversation versus these massive gestures that, like, to me it's more romantic to hear you speak about why you love me, why you want to be with me, versus like holding up a sign in the middle of a shark tank. Like, I think that like there's more romance there and there's less room for ambiguity when you have the conversation. And not only that, but fucking tell Kristen you're not interested. Like, that's what gets me, is the Kristen situation. Tell Kristen you're not interested, because maybe then Kristen won't be fucking lurking behind your shoulder every 5 seconds.
I think like quality time it's the most popular love language. I'm making that up, but I'm going to go with it.
I mean, I think it's up there.
So I think instead of grand gestures and gift giving and all this stuff that Corey was kind of like focusing on, if he just like sat down with her, did like a nice heart to heart, and then like they went around the park and explored and they could talk, and like he could be like, I really am enjoying this time with you, make those memories. I feel like that's better than like these like big overt gestures. And yeah, like, didn't he say at the end that he like bought a plane to like fly across the sky with her? Like,
Topanga, it's like a joke, like a blimp or something. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he could afford that. I think it's supposed to be just the joke.
He's not Danny Tanner.
But so of course there's Kristen and she's in a wetsuit and she was like, I was in the tank right behind you. You're a fast swimmer. Kristen, take a hint. He's alone with Topanga. Did you not hear him say he's in love with her as you were walking up behind them like a creep?
She chooses what to hear.
Oh, she really does. So we're back at the living sea. Corey thinks this woman is Topanga. Corey, not all white blonde women look the same. Topanga, like, she has, like, platinum blonde hair.
Topanga's blonde? I thought she was, like, a dirty blonde.
It's like dirty blonde, yeah.
Okay, I was like...
But this woman has, like, platinum blonde hair. Yeah. Looks nothing like Topanga.
Who is this lady? She wasn't the lady she's at random. The beginning, right?
No, she's not random, actually. So, she's this like a girl... So, this girl is Stacey Keenan, And she plays Dana Foster in Step by Step.
Right.
And actually, they were doing a Disney crossover with both shows at this time.
Oh, like one of
the... Yeah, because didn't I say to you, oh, I recognize her, and I looked it up, and I didn't realize it was a crossover, though, at the time. I thought she was just a guest star.
So, Step by Step did a two-parter Disney episode, with the second part airing the same day as the Boy Meets World episode. Okay. So this was a crossover event.
Got it.
Kind of like how we were talking about the other day, how, you know, Boy Meets World and TGI Friday love to do this. They love to have, like, the themed nights. Yeah. Right. So this was, this is why she might look recognizable to you or to anybody.
She wasn't the leader of, like, introducing Amber, right? That was another woman?
That was somebody else. Okay. Yeah,
that was the woman who worked there.
Yeah, that's what she's not the same person, right?
No. Okay. No, this girl is just there feeding Amber. She's just, you know, she tells him about Amber, and he's like, oh, she's just an animal. She's like, just an animal? How do you go off saying something like that? And she makes him, like, apologize to Amber. She's like, they have real emotions. And this is when we see Corey with his heart-to-heart with
Amber. Sir, you are an animal, too. Humans are animals. I don't know if you understand that, Corey.
But they don't have pets in the Matthews household.
Corey is an animal hater.
They just didn't grow up with pets.
I didn't either, and I know that humans are animals. And fish are friends, not food, obviously.
He's probably one of those people that hates dogs.
Oh, my God.
I know. Ugh. Those people, you can't trust them.
Why do you love him, Sarah?
Oh, because in my little heart, back in the day, he was the finest person on this universe.
I had a commentary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so when you're saying this lady was from Step by Step, it's basically like those, like, Disney Channel crossover, like when they go to the That's a Raven, Sweet Life of Hannah Montana, that one. Or, like, I guess, like, a contemporary example. New Girl and Brooklyn Nine-Nine when, like, they were all when they went to New York. Okay.
It's a very similar thing.
Synergy. Brand synergy.
So he has a heart-to-heart with Amber. He says, all those things I was doing, I wasn't trying to impress Topanga. I just didn't know how to express my feelings. At least I tried. And he kind of just, like, gives up, and she eats. He feeds her, and she eats. Apparently, he's a freaking dolphin whisperer. Who knew?
Free Willy.
Apparently, Corey is Amber's mate.
Felt the scene dragged a little bit, but I did love the quality time that I got to spend watching Amber, a cute dolphin. But I did feel she's like this icon. Was, like, kind of like, okay, Corey's just talking to the dolphin. I feel like this could speed up a little bit. Like, I felt like the scene was, like, 3 minutes long. I don't know.
Yeah. And then, to nobody's surprise, Panga's there lurking in the shadow. She hears it.
I'm surprised Kristen wasn't there with her.
She chases after Corey, and she's running in heels. And he's like, I understand, Topanga. You don't have to tell me again. I won't chase you. We'll be back to being friends or whatever it is you want to be. And she's like, no, I realize what you did. Like, you did all this stuff for me. And he's like, I'm embarrassed. I didn't even get free miles.
Relatable.
and he's like, I'm going to give up. And he's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, no, I'm sorry. I never realized these things came to your heart from your heart until now. And then she, like, kisses him, and he's like, I'm confused. Are we friends or what?
She says,
and Jess,
or what?
Or what?
Ha ha ha.
But didn't we break up for a reason? And that, what was the reason, Jess?
So we could get back together.
These are some iconic lines, Felipe. Like, this is stuff that, like, you remember.
I knew the lines. We watched this with this episode together when we were together.
We did.
And I knew these lines. I knew the or what line, and I knew the so we could get back together.
Yeah, she said
line.
Them before they said them in the show.
I've seen these episodes.
Very
a lot.
Impressive work.
I'm doing the rest of this podcast in protest because you reminded me that you hung out without me, and now I'm upset again.
Protest. Oh, no. So, of course, they kiss.
Yeah.
And then,
fountains.
I wish it wasn't fireworks. That would have been way too basic.
Romantic, swelling music.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole thing.
So, yeah. Very romantic. Did you like that, Felipe? Did you think that was romantic?
Oh, yeah, that was cute. And, like, they actually, like, used a Disney site, like the Epcot ball. I was like, okay, come on. Like, you could have done a little more with the theme parks, but at least, like, for, like, the big moment of the episode, they used, like, I'm surprised. I actually kind of like that it was Epcot and not the castle, because that would have been a little more cliche.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, did you find it interesting they spent most of their time in Epcot? Because obviously Living Seas is in Epcot. They mm-hmm. showed, like, Patriot Goofy, which is from American Dreams section of...
I think Beast and Aladdin were also in Epcot with, like, France and Morocco.
People say, yeah, Morocco for Aladdin.
I think the only thing they did in Magic Kingdom was the Splash Mountain and the mm-hmm. Dumbo in the dream sequence. I can't think mm-hmm. of anything else. Did they go to Small World? No.
Mm-mm.
Maybe no. the Churro
It's camp? Interesting. It's just like, that's not usually what places highlight about Disney. Usually it's all about the castle, you know? Yeah.
I feel like it's
Jess, have you been to Epcot? Mm-mm. No. I don't think so.
Live show. Let's go.
We're going in November to Epcot.
Without me?
I'm not. We're going with Will and his family.
Put me in the suitcase.
I don't know. I didn't plan any of it. I know we have tickets to like most of the parks.
Around the world.
The only one we're not going to, I think, is like SeaWorld. I think we're going to like all the other
Universal and yeah. Don't go to Busch Gardens. Waste of time.
I don't think we're going there.
Epcot's actually my favorite.
Same. That's the one I want to go to because as an adult. Like, hi, give me the beverages, give me the food, I'll visit all the countries, yes.
I was a weird kid. Epcot was my favorite even as a kid. Also, Soarin', amazing.
It just seems like the best one.
Yeah.
You gotta go on the Frozen ride.
Oh my god.
I haven't been on the Frozen ride.
I have. It used to be the Norway ride, which I love the Mexico Pavilion. Like, that is my favorite spot.
In the Mexico Pavilion is, like, humongous and crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
So yes, now we're at the end scene. Corey's in trouble. His parents found him out. He's grounded for a whole month. Morgan says, I got more time when I said, and there's a whole bleeping.
Morgan! Sailor potty mouth. Like,
yeah.
I want to ask, what did the parents do? Make it up in your head, canon. When they found out Corey was missing, then he was probably gone for another 2 days. Like, by the time they realized it, like, what, Ellen and Amy, what did they do?
The only thing they can really do is buy him a flight home. I mean, they're not going to go down there.
But how can they get him the ticket to the flight home?
There's no iPhone.
You can't call it ahead or something at the airport? You can't, like, buy a ticket in his name?
They don't know where he is.
Yeah, but how are they going to reach him? Yeah. Call the park.
They don't know he's there. Unless Eric tells them.
Eric tells them. There's no way. No, Eric refuses. Oh, no, he said that he wasn't.
Yeah, they really didn't know where he was.
They call Topanga's parents, find out where she's supposed to be, find out where he is.
Also, did the school or maybe pay for Chet? This trip?
Chet doesn't know shit.
Who's Chet?
Chet doesn't even realize Sean's gone.
Sean's dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did the school pay for the tickets or? Like,
yeah.
This seems like very last minute that they sprung. Oh, we're going to Disney World. Like, if my parents were...
It's the contest winner.
It was a contest, yeah.
So whoever runs the contest paid for the tickets.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
The National Dolphin Society of America.
It's a whole sitch, and now Morgan gets grounded for 2 months. But Morgan says, you know what, Corey? What you did for Topanga was really sweet. I hope someday a boy does that for me. Mm-hmm. She leaves. He got his parents snow globes. And they said, there's no leniency on your grounding. And so he takes back the snow globes.
And Alan Matthews with the death grip.
Yeah, Alan did not want to get rid of his snow globes. I like, don't take it away.
It's relatable.
And Amy's like, you know what? I'm glad everything worked out with you and Topanga. And he's like, you can have your snow globe back.
I don't think this story would have ever come up, but I cried. I was 8 years old and I was watching Osmosis Jones. Shout out to anyone who knows what that is.
I love Osmosis.
And my snow globe that I got for Christmas broke, and I cried.
Aww.
And so I love snow globes.
Sounds like a big mess.
It's a good. I feel like it's a good souvenir gift to get someone as a snow globe because it can be decorative.
Don't
give it
to children though.
Not if they're easily broken. But Eric gets home, and they're like, Eric, we know you were involved. He's like, where's your proof? You have no proof. No proof whatsoever. Until Feeny walks in with a freaking Corey doll, like. We've seen Feeny's garden. It is not that big. Eric, you've got to do a better job about this.
So the last time we saw him with the doll was when he threw it and Feeny was talking to Mr. Turner and then he opened the locker. Do we think he just like left the doll there and Feeny...
He must have grabbed it later.
Okay.
No, he grabbed it later and then to hide the evidence, he buried it in Feeny's
like yard. How do you not run into like a dumpster somewhere in Philly? You know what I mean? Like, there has to be a garbage can you could stuff that thing in.
Yeah.
And put it in. So near he got caught.
Yeah, he's all the Matthews kids are probably grounded now.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody's grounded.
Too. I'm sorry. That's it.
So that's our episode, The Happiest Show on Earth. So I mean, it's an iconic episode for many reasons, because it's the Disney episode, because it's like, you know, they get back together. Like, it's definitely something that that everybody remembers if you're a Boy Meets World fan. But Felipe, like, what did you think about this episode overall as like a non-Boy Meets World watcher but a Disney lover?
I enjoyed the episode. Again, I wish I used like the Disney backdrop more efficiently, as opposed to like just as like a random, like, this episode did not have to be in Disney World with the stuff they were doing. It could have been like any random location. Like, they could have been going to a trip to Pittsburgh and it would have been the same plot, basically, besides the dolphin. They could have found a stray dog or something. I enjoyed it. Like, I'm glad that I like finally have some context to the show. I know these characters a little more, but besides like pop culture wise and listening to your podcast. But I actually wanted to throw a question to you two. Like, contextualize this moment in the series for me. Like, is this like a big moment other than the fact that it's a Disney World episode, or is this like a game changing episode with them getting back together, or is it, do they break up in like three episodes?
It's big because they get back together and because it's in Disney when they do it.
Okay.
And like the kiss is iconic at the fountain.
The fire, the what's it called? Yeah, the fountain going off, all the lights.
But we still are going to break up like three more times.
Yeah, it's not we're not done yet. I mean, come on now. Like, we're in season 3. The show has what, 6 or 7 seasons? Like, 7. There's no way we're getting away with not having them break up again. But it's still a very iconic episode. Like, I'm surprised how much I remembered of it, because I haven't watched the show in like a very long time. So for me to remember some of the lines from it, I imagine it was one of those ones that played on ABC Family often. And so that's probably why I remember so much of it. But yeah, it's of course it's iconic. It's because it's Disney and because they get back together. It's like two major things are happening.
I will say, in terms of the two Disney episodes we watched, Fuller House by far is more iconic as like a Disney location.
It's a better Disney episode.
And then also,
they showcase
there's all the princesses, they have way more rides, it's a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't even get one princess in Boy Meets World. Isn't that strange?
Maybe they
Why was Sean not hitting on Snow White?
They probably thought, oh, it's a boys' show. Let's show Goofy and Beast instead of the princess.
How funny would that be if we saw Sean hitting on a princess? That would be hilarious. We should have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean didn't have a lot to do this episode.
See? No. They could have hired me.
This isn't went to Disney, then he would definitely be hitting on all the princesses.
This is not a good episode. Like, if you were to say, show me an episode to get me into watching Boy Meets World, I would never show somebody this episode. This is not the episode I would show somebody to get them into the show by any means. It's just a standout episode in the series in general. Yeah.
I feel like I didn't even know they had a Disney episode until you asked me to be on. The episodes I know are like the one where like Corey and Topanga do it. And then the ones that you've talked about on the podcast that like stand out. The one where, I don't remember the actual contents of the episode. I just remember y'all going on about how Alan Matthews is a daddy for like 10 minutes of the pod. But
he is.
He is a daddy.
And I don't even think it's the most epic like reconciliation reunion, Jess.
No, it's not.
There's I think one other that like totally tops this one. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're there yet. I mean, they're still young too. So I think like that also changes it.
Spicy take.
Yeah.
In terms of Disney episodes, I think the Blackish episode at Disney World is better. And they spend the whole episode in Animal Kingdom. So that's like when you have Epcot and Magic Kingdom, I feel like you had those set pieces and they didn't really use it that much. That's like.
Fair enough. Yeah. But what did you think of the show in general? Like, besides the Disney stuff?
Like, if I had the time, I would watch more episodes. Like, I feel like this is a fun show. Like, if it's like on, if cable was still a thing, like, and you turn it on. Like, in the middle of the night. Like, this would be a fun show to, like, watch as, like, a comfort show. And I would definitely, like, watch it if I got home and it was on, like, when I was younger. But it just wasn't. And I don't know if I'll ever watch the whole series. But it's definitely fun to, like, contextualize some of the characters that I know from the podcast and, like, put faces to names. And, like, which is why I was so surprised with Sean. Because I was like, this is not what I expected from the podcast. But also, I was surprised, like, this episode was not super heavy, but I feel like I've heard a lot of things about, like, how Boy Meets World can deal with, like, heavier things.
It definitely does.
Compared to, like, Sweet Life or...
Yeah, and they do it in a really smart way, I think, which is why it's such an iconic show for a lot of us, because a lot of times those items weren't discussed in the 90s. Like, I feel like it was one of the only, like, kids sitcoms that really did talk a lot about these issues.
Yeah.
Especially Sean. World. He's a definitely different character. Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, no, Boy Meets World is great because it's a show that grew up with you. There's so many shows that never grow up with their audience, but Boy Meets World always grew up with its audience. So that's why it's so loved.
And that's why I think if things are going to continue to get rebooted, that people should learn from the iCarly reboot that the show grew up with iCarly. Like they're doing those things, and I know there was a Lizzie McGuire reboot in the works, and Disney didn't want Lizzie to fuck. So
It is, the podcast is called Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We curse all the time.
But yeah, and Hillary Duff was like, "Nah, Lizzie got to fuck if I want."
It's very upsetting. Yeah, I would have totally watched that if they had done that. But yeah. Ugh, it's very upsetting.
But just to quote my idol, Corey and Topanga are gonna do it.
They are eventually going to do it. We will eventually get there.
Takes a hell of a long time, yes, though.
Shall we
get into... In the moment or to get there? Like, I feel like...
Sorry. No, like, a lot of seasons, a lot of episodes till we get to see that happen.
I actually have an email from our friend Cody.
Yay! We love Cody! Hello. What do you have to say?
Yeah, so he has a couple of questions. Do you guys think Corey used his turkey chubbies trick on all the girls that he asked out? So Felipe,
that's the white dance, right?
It's not the white dance. So Corey's trick in getting girls to like him when he brings them to Chubbies, and like Chubby, who owns Chubbies, is like very particular about who he serves at his restaurant. So like, just like, you can't go up there and be like, can I have a salad? Like, you have to, like, he has to know you. He has to trust you. So when girls, like, so what Corey does is he brings the girls up and he tells them, he instructs the girls how to order from Chubby. And that gets girls like very interested because it's like, oh, you're helping me out. So Jess, do you think that he does the turkey Chubby move on everybody?
I think so. I think he has these moves down. I think he does the turkey chubby. I think he does the like fry maneuver. Like, I think he does all of these things, and he does his like corny dance moves to like lull them into a false sense of security with him, and then he puts the moves on him.
Now, I have a question about this chubby's fellow. Is he negligent in serving children alcohol? Do you think
he's not serving them alcohol?
Okay. I don't know who this person is. I was just like...
No, it's not a bar. It's definitely like a teen hang spot.
It looked like a pub.
Does look like a pub. Yeah, because they have like a pool table and all that. But no, he's certainly like mostly serving...
Was this at night students? Or was this in the afternoon? That opening scene.
I think probably at night. Like a nice 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
And then another question, what do you guys think Morgan said at the end of the episode that was so awful? So it's the same thing that in the Boy Meets World lore, Morgan did not show up in season 3 until episode 14. So this is what got her punished and stuck in her room for all this time. What do you guys, if you had to take a guess, what do you think Miss Morgan said to get grounded?
Had to be something like motherfucker, right?
It was a long phrase.
Has to be the word fuck in there, at least. I feel like the C word is definitely too advanced for her. So it's definitely like motherfucker shitballs or something. It's like,
I think there's a cock in there. Like,
you think she knows cock? She's pretty young.
Is this going to be the clip of what you post on the headline?
No. She's like, Daddy Allen, you are a broke ass whore. Why don't you fix
the motherfucking sink
and leave me the hell alone?
You know what it was?
Yeah.
if they wanted me to lip sync, I was ready to motherfucking lip sync. That was what she was
saying. Yeah.
See it. She's sassy. Morgan is we now love, in Drag Race.
We love New Morgan. New Morgan's great.
What's that actress up to? I feel like, did they like try to make her like a Michelle Tanner? Did they really like try to force her down the audience throats? Or,
okay. The show is always the Corey show.
Okay.
Like they bring in the other siblings, but it is 100%.
Does she ever have good storylines?
She's like a Stephanie.
Yeah.
My queen. Do you know that Jodie Sweetin is now on TikTok?
Oh, we're going to have to find her.
Oh my God.
Ask her to be on the podcast.
And then one last thing. Shit 90s fun fact. Bringing back the shit 90s Yay. Fun fact. The happiest place on earth is used when referring to Disneyland in Anaheim, California. The Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World is referred to as the most magical place on earth. But I guess this episode would be completely different if it was called the most magical show on earth.
I was,
and that's because the episode is called The Most Magical Show.
The happiest show on earth.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, they technically got it wrong because they, you know.
Between your podcast and just scrolling through the episode titles on the show are not good, I will say.
Not good. Well, they could be better.
Yeah. They're, like, they're usually kind of punny. Yeah, they used to rhyme. They're kind of punny. I don't know. It's... Yeah.
Did Dirtbag Kelly write in what date this episode aired?
Dirtbag Kelly doesn't listen to Boy Meets World.
Yeah, he's a Dawson's Creek guy.
See, I confused the podcast, which, by the way, Dawson's Creek is messy.
That's why it's the best show.
So messy.
It's not the best show. But
so,
it is
so good, though. We're getting into season 3 soon.
It's no
so
Better Call Saul, please.
This is not the same type of show. Like, it's like comparing apples and oranges. Okay. Fashion hour time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so fashion hour time. First up is the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. My first nomination is the outfit, Topanga, and this is her outfit that we first see her in. I think this is like her travel outfit, but Topanga is wearing this two-piece matching sweat set that has like a little mock turtleneck. It's like seafoam green. She had her pants like go to like just above her ankles, and it's like a crop top too, a white belt, and then she has this jacket that it's like striped. It's like black, like with a brown stripe, a white stripe, and a turquoise stripe that matches her outfit. She has her hair is so long and flowy in this episode. Her back has a freaking claw clip in her hair, and she has a white bag for an accessory. Felipe, what do you think of Topanga's little travel outfit?
The photo of her in the golf cart, like, she came, she slayed, and she was here. Like, this is her boss girl, girl boss moment.
Yes. Oh, and her shoes are, like, these little white loafers with, like, black soles.
Like, Nicole Horn would be standing so hard right now. And I'm just living vicariously through her thoughts.
Yeah, Jess, what do you think about Topanga's travel outfit?
This is, like, reminds me of, like, someone who, like, in a good way. Someone who, like, summers in the Hamptons or, like, is, like, a snowbird and flies down to Florida. I think that, like, this color turquoise is beautiful and it's, like, perfect for Florida. I think she just, like, I don't know. I really love this outfit. It's not like she doesn't have her, like, you know, combat boots on. She's very like, I'm going to summer. Like, I love it.
I'm going on vacation. This is a vacation outfit.
Yeah, I love it.
Can you remind me of the financial backgrounds of the characters? Like, is Topanga, like, does she have, like, are her parents wealthier in comparison?
We think her dad is because he makes musical instruments for, like, musicians. Okay. So we imagine they have a decent amount of money. Sean is the exact opposite. He doesn't have any money. And Corey is kind of in, like, middle class.
Okay.
They struggle sometimes because, like, they talked about money before and they do struggle sometimes. But they're probably just cash poor. They have, like, a really nice house.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I had these outfits noted. I was like, this is a throwback.
Mm-hmm. So next up is Sean and his travel outfit, and he is wearing a white t-shirt underneath a Hawaiian shirt, and he loves Hawaiian shirts, and I think this is the only time that it's been appropriate for him to wear this like over shirt. His t-shirt's tucked into some light wash denim with a black belt and some, you know, dark black heavyweight shoes. Jess, what do you think about Sean's outfit as a person that normally hates his Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah, I think this is about as vacation-y as Sean is going to be able to get wearing, like, using what he has at his disposal. He's not going out to buy outfits like Topanga is. Mm-hmm. He's using what he has. Yeah, I mean, I like how realistic it is that, like, yes, he would still wear denim jeans to Florida. He would still wear a heavy boot to Florida, but he's going to at least make an effort with the white shirt and the Hawaiian shirt over top.
Can we talk about how his, like, Hawaiian shirt is, like, all the way back, barely hanging across the elbow? Like, if he moved his elbow, it would fall off and, like, float in the wind.
He's running.
Yeah, It's the aesthetic.
Yeah, I like the look more on Corey. I don't know if we're going to get to that, but Corey rocked the, like, short sleeve button down over the white t-shirt and the shorts so much better than Sean did. I think Sean, from the top up, it really works for him, but those pants are real, like, they don't work. And then the chonky boots. The chonky boots.
A chonky boot.
My last nomination for the Rachel Green Award is the step-by-step girl that was telling Corey that she needs to like animals more.
What is this hairstyle with the whoosh?
So the interesting thing about this hairstyle is that it's almost like a zigzag part. Do you remember zigzag
parts? Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, but she has like a little bit of like the Brady bunch flippies at the end, but she's wearing this like squared necked floral top with like some thick, four finger like width straps, this like plain lilac purple above the knee skirt, and these little chunky platform sandals with the big wedge and like the little like white strap, singular strap. Felipe, what do you think about this girl's outfit?
I think she's rocking. I don't know if this is quintessential 90s other than the hair, but I really like, the skirt, I guess, is but
and the shoes.
True. I like it. I feel like she was rocking it, and for like a character with one scene, she definitely stood out in the looks department. I mean, she's on here more times than like any other character besides Sean and Topanga in this episode. So go off, boss queen.
Yeah, I think like it's fine. I feel like that skirt looks vaguely familiar to me. Like it's pretty. It's very summery. It's very like Florida-y. I hate the hair flippy thing. It drives me nuts. It's like she looks, I don't even know. It looks like a wig when it's like flipped out like that at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think my obvious vote here is for Topanga. I just think she rocks that look more than anybody else can. But
I Felipe, also vote what do you think? Topanga, but specifically Topanga in the golf cart.
Yes. What a queen. We stan.
We stan her. Next up is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. My first nomination is Corey and Demi Corey. and they are both wearing a red shirt, with checkered print nonsense, a white t-shirt, and some dark denim pants, black shoes. I like this because we don't normally see Corey with like short sleeve, like button down shirts and, or like slash like cuffed rolled up. So I kind of thought that this was like, like a little bit more summery for Corey than we normally see. Felipe, what do you think about this look from Corey?
I feel like I've worn this, Will's worn this, Drew's worn this, Jacob has worn, like every boy has worn this at one point in time. He looks like a goober in that last photo. But I feel like this is definitely timeless, but I also feel like it's very timeless in like a high school, like people, like it definitely feels like with the half of the buttons undone with the white t-shirt in the middle, I feel like that isn't done as often anymore.
Yeah. Jess, what do you think?
I think it's fine. I think like my issue with it is that it is short sleeved because it instantly reminds me of Dwight Schrute. Anytime I see these button downs with short sleeves, I can't help it. But I do. Mm-hmm. We like Corey in red. We've discussed it before. I feel like red is a very good color on him. And I like this look. I like that it's a little more casual with the buttons undone. I think it makes him look not as preppy as he otherwise would.
Yeah. What do you think about dummy Corey though?
Dummy Thorey is dummy thick.
He looks a little scary in the face department, but he has wearing the same outfit, so you know.
What's a scarier puppet? Is it that giant puppet? Is it the puppet from Victorious? Is it, like, what's the scariest puppet in television history?
I hate puppets.
Yeah, puppets are creepy.
Even Kermit?
In general, I think.
Even Elmo? You hate the Muppets?
Yeah, I don't like them. Elmo is certainly creepy.
How dare you?
Tickle Me Elmo, like, come on now.
Elmo is an icon, and we do not deserve his presence in the world.
As soon as I saw this next outfit, I knew Sarah was going to put it in the Fashion Awards.
Next up is Topanga, and this is one of Topanga. This is like in the montage where like Corey's chasing Topanga. Topanga's fucking adorable. She is wearing this like red striped, like, crop top with a turtleneck, and it's so cute, and some high-waisted white shorts and the cowboy boots, which we'll just like talk over, and her fucking hair is so
talk
cute.
Over
I don't want to talk about the hair.
This bitch in these cowboy boots. I can't.
And her hair is fucking adorable because it's like the highest pony that ever did live. And with a red scrunchie, like Jessica, you cannot tell me that this is not the cutest fucking outfit you've ever seen in your life.
Knees up. It's a perfect outfit. Knees up. I stand it all day, every day. Any girl who's confident enough to wear white shorts, hats off to you. I could never. I appreciate her. I love a good, cute little crop top. You know, I know you love a mock turtleneck. She's all about it, folks. The problem I have is with the fucking audacity of these red cowboy boots and the fact that she wears them in Disney World. What kind of psychotic, sadistic human being wears red cowboy boots at Disney World? But here's the thing. I stand this outfit anyway because the rest of the outfit is just that good. Felipe, what do you think?
My first thought was Ted Mosby called. He wants his boots back.
Yeah, same thought.
It also reminds me, this is going to be a deep poll. In Big Brother 5, Diane wore cowboy boots and like she wore this like really appealing outfit to like tease Drew, and like those cowboy boots always stood out. I was like, who has red cowboy boots? I thought this was a thing of television. But speaking of Big Brother, Topanga looks perfectly set up for the Big Brother jury house with this outfit. Like you can see Davon roll in, be like the next juror, and Topanga be like, yes, I'm here in this outfit. I am obsessed with this outfit. The red boots do throw it off a bit, but honestly, live your best life, Topanga. Topanga.
I feel like a chunky platform white sneaker. Replace the boots with a chunky white platform sneaker.
I like the red, like the white short sandwich between the red. Like maybe if it was like a red chunky Converse.
Yeah, like a red. I think you need a platform one to keep it night, like in the 90s. You need a platform red chunky sneaker.
Well, this is timeless.
See, I'm,
I know, but I'm saying like to position it, I still think you need the... I mean, platform sneakers are back in.
Can we talk about Corey's choice for Aladdin's pants, though? Like, what the hell? Aladdin does not wear those pants.
Well, okay, so I heard from that girl that I watched on YouTube, she theorized that this is definitely the Moroccan pavilion, and he might have been dressed up as, like, they have the little kiosks where they sell...
He's not Aladdin. Stuff. He's like a worker.
And he's not supposed to be Aladdin, but he's supposed to be like in like a Moroccan.
Okay. Do you know they're getting rid of the penis rock in the Morocco pavilion?
Oh,
there's like a piece of wall that looks very phallic, and they're like cutting it out because people were like being ridiculous around it.
Oh,
The more you know.
Okay, my next nomination, don't hate me, people, don't hate me, but she's the queen of fashion. Another Topanga look, and now this is the look that she's wearing, like, to, like, the fancy dinner. This is the look that she's wearing when she's making up with Corey. This is the outfit where she's running in heels to catch up with him.
But, like, it looks very similar to the step-by-step girl.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, yeah, this is like a mini dress, a floral mini dress. But look how long her hair is and how straight it looks. And she's so freaking pretty. Like a fashionista. She has places to go. She is just like, hello, I command the audience. Yeah.
The thing is in modern day, Topanga is that bitch who, like, looks up the proper footwear to wear to Disney before going. Because obviously she didn't on this trip because she's wearing, like, heels one day and fucking cowboy boots another.
Her feet are bleeding.
Yeah, they definitely, she's bleeding puddles into those cowboy boots. But, like, the dress is very cute. I mean, it's a mini dress. It looks great. Her hair is gorgeous. The long straight hair with, like, the little twisties pulled back.
It's vacation-y.
Very vacation-y. Very I'm in Florida and I'm having a great time.
So, what do you think, Felipe?
I like this, but, like, I can't get it out of my head that she's wearing heels in Disney World, in Epcot, the biggest park. Like, girl, what are you doing? And also, it's not as cute as the cowgirl. Turtleneck shindig she's doing.
So yeah, what's our winner here?
Oh, the red cowboy boots, despite Jessica's
thoughts. No, I'm 100% on board with that winning. I'm still gonna rage against the fucking cowboy boots, but it's still a worthy winner.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. Congratulations to Panga for the double win. It's so exciting when we see that. But Fashion Over is not over, guys, because this is a rare occurrence and it only happens once in a blue moon. But we have a shame.
Okay, thank you. That sweater was ugly.
Yeah, we do have a shame corner that comes up every once in a while.
And why would you wear a cardigan sweater to the aquarium? Like, yes,
so this is Corey, and this is his last outfit. He is wearing a white t-shirt, light wash jeans, like some old crappy white sneakers. But the biggest offense here is this, like, yellow, like cable knit sweater with, like, the V. But it's like, so it's bad in multiple accounts. Number one, it's not fashionable. Number two, it's like old and dowdy. But number three, he is in Florida, presumably in the summer, because this is the end of the season and the next season is the last day of the next episode is the last day of school. So summer in Florida, and you're wearing this, like, grandpa sweater, and it's not romantic. And this is the outfit that you're going to try to get your girl back with? Like, what the heck?
This was the moment of the episode where I texted Jessica on the side and said, Jessica, get your co-host because she cannot be thirsting over this man with this ugly sweater. Like,
yeah. The thing is, like, he, honestly, he thought he was going to Easter dinner. Like, that is the sweater you wear to fucking Easter dinner at your grandparents, because you're like, I need to be dressed up enough, but I still need to be cozy to fit the room in for the food.
Does,
you know,
Corey's mom still dress him?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is not the outfit you wear to fucking Florida on a trip to Disney World. Like, you are sweating through that sweater. There's no if,
even
buts, and
too.
Whatever's about,
like,
it. Yeah, it's too much.
Thick.
It's too much. It's trash. Corey, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Jessica, you should podcast in that sweater.
I will not buy that sweater, ever.
No. None for anybody. No. So that's Fashion Hour for today.
It was also this nasty yellow color. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the yellow color is, like, not even, like, a mustard yellow. It's, like...
No, it's, like, pastel.
Like pastel yellow.
Yeah.
It's Easter yellow.
It's tragic.
Yeah. But... This was a lot of fun. It was really fun getting to know, like, your fresh thoughts of Boy Meets World, Felipe, as a non-Boy Meets World watcher.
I apologize to all the fans if I offended anyone.
No one cares.
Yeah,
would you ever watch Boy Meets World
I would,
again?
On the condition that I get to be on the podcast to talk about it.
There you go.
But no, I would watch it. Like, if it was on in the background, if someone, like, hit random on Disney Plus and it popped up, I would sit through an episode and watch it. It's just, like, something that I don't connect to. And now with like so many other things that I want to watch, I don't know when I would have the time to like go
back. You don't have the nostalgia factor, which I do think is kind of important for the show.
Like Wizards of Waverly Place, I started to rewatch, and even then I have the nostalgia and I can sit down and watch a few episodes, but it's not something that I like will rewatch every single episode in a row. It's just like some comfort show that like from your childhood. But yeah, no, this was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me, and I'm glad that I finally have some exposure to the BMW of it all, which means Bora Voice, my wife.
That's what it stands for. Felipe, where can people find you? We know you have a lot going on. Do all your plugs.
So this might take a little bit, so y'all can take a nap. I am over on the Brazilian Dragon podcast, where right now we, aka me and my co-host, my good buddy Jacob Redman, we are talking about the Scooby-Doo movies. We recently did an episode on Scooby-Doo and the Samurai Sword with previous guests of this podcast, TTN, TikTok Nicole. She joined us. The Scooby-Doo gang went to Japan. Also, Sarah and Jess have guested on that podcast and will guest again in the future. Also on the Brazilian Dragon, we have done High School Musical, the musical, the series recaps. Caitlin and I will get together one more time to do a High School Musical, the musical, the series Hunger Games simulation coming soon. And also, Naomi Calhoun and I will be back to talk about Stuart Little this weekend. So that's on the Brazilian Dragon. Then on What You Doing, a Phineas and Ferb rewatch podcast with Navi and Davis, Will, not Afrotique, Will. We just finished season one of Phineas and Ferb. We capped it off with a Brant Steele, Survivor Fletcher Flinapines, and that was a Survivor simulation. And we're starting up season two this week, and Sarah and Jess have an open invite as well. And then lastly, I am technically a producer of Ang In There, so go check that out. And stay tuned for more stuff from me. That's all I'll say.
Busy, busy bee.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, if you're in LA and you know people who need an executive assistant for television or film, tell them to reach out because I am looking for jobs.
And where can they find you?
Oh, my main Twitter is @WhatTheFleep, and then I retweet everything from that account as well from the other account. So Brazil Dragon Pod and What You Doing Pod. And you can also find me blowing up Jess and Sarah's DMs. With my fortune tellers.
Brilliant. So for us, we have a lot going on as well. Maybe not quite as much as you, Felipe, but still a lot. So this week, it's already out. We will be releasing for our 1 year anniversary a very special bonus podcast, our 90s snack bracket.
And let me just...
Jessica and I tried 28 different 90s snacks, and we were together, and we did a bracket. So you have to tune in and see what is the ultimate 90s snack, according to Jess and I. Mm-hmm. Felipe, do you have a question?
Yes. If Scooby snacks do not make it to the top four, I might have to ban you from the podcast.
And then, as if you want to know... what else we have going on for September, we are doing a Robin Williams month, and we are having you, the audience, vote. The poll is live right now, so please go vote in it between Flubber, Jack, Jumanji, and Mrs. Doubtfire. We are covering two podcasts for two Robin Williams movies, so please go vote in our poll. Felipe, what do you want?
Jumanji.
Which two do you want? And what else? Jumanji and what else?
I mean, my vote would be Aladdin, but that's not an option.
That is not an option. Strangely enough.
I think the most fun podcast would be Flubber with AJ Norris.
Okay, there you go. Well, there we go. So that is a...
But vote your heart out. Fans,
vote however you wish, and only time will tell. Of course, we have weekly Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek content. We are finishing up
both Boy Meets World season 3 and Dawson's Creek season 2. So that's amazing. And you can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us at shit90spod@gmail.com. And if you haven't checked out our new website, please go do that because it's really, really cute. And you can leave us a voicemail or reach us and send in feedback on the website.
And it works.
It does work.
I said hi, and Sarah was like, I love your message.
It does work. Jessica, what do you have up to? What updo do you have? Whose updo do you have? Hair as cute as Topanga's.
It's not quite as high as Topanga's. As usual, you can find me over on Community Building, post show recaps with Josh Wiggler, recapping the show Community Weekly. We are in the middle, or we just started season 2. So go give that a listen. It's a really fun podcast. I'm at the Just Sterling on Twitter. And I think that is everything. We have a lot going on. So check all of it out. Let us know your thoughts on the snack bracket when that releases. And we'll obviously, if you have feedback, if you think we were totally wrong about not choosing X, Y, and Z for the snack bracket, let us know. We love your thoughts. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Felipe, for joining us. Everybody, have a good one. Bye.
Shit 90 shows taught me.